Welcome everybody to Tales of Music or History of Music, depending on what platform you're using. My name is Sledge Gates, and today we have a guest, a good friend of mine. His name is Trip, and so say hi, Trip.
Howdy.
So, and today we're going to be talking about metal and its subgenres, or heavy metal. So, before we get started in reading all stuff, Trip, what do you know most about metal?
It branched off from rock in the 1960s, and, you know, people claim it to be a subgenre of rock, but everybody knows that it's not, right?
Right. I mean, there obviously are some people, and...
who are stuck-up assholes and think that rock is a subgenre of... that metal is a subgenre of rock, and they honestly should die.
Hey. All right.
Have their fucking...
So, what do you think... What do you think is your favorite subgenre of heavy metal?
Have to be thrash metal.
Thrash metal's pretty good, yeah. I like thrash
heavy
metal.
Heavy metal and thrash metal.
Heavy metal, thrash metal, and death metal is for me.
Mainly because Slayer is one of my favorite bands.
My favorite is Rob Zombie, which we will be talking about thrash metal and heavy metal today. And, alright, so let's talk about the history of it. And so, heavy metal, or simply some people say metal, is a genre that developed in the late 1960s and early 1970s, largely in the United Kingdom and United States. Which I'm surprised how most stuff, you know, that came from the United Kingdom, or the, you know, London and stuff like that. Like, stuff that's all hard and everything, you wouldn't expect that from, you know, there, right? I mean, all the movies, they say it's all classical and things.
Kind of rude. It's not all classical in Britain or the UK.
Right, and, you know, they have... with roots in blues rock, psychedelic, and acid rock. Which I can see psychedelic and acid rock, you know, that can be, you know, kind of thing. That's
psychedelic metal.
Yeah, psychedelic metal and acid metal. But I wouldn't say blues rock would be a good root for it. I mean, I get it, blues rock was a root for rock, but, I mean, the only thing that's significantly calm or soft would be alternate rock.
Yeah, alternate metal.
Yeah, alternate metal. Alternate rock, alternate metal. Yeah,
you're
sorry.
Your things mixed up.
Yeah, I am, because the last episode was all about rock, and I was just talking about rock, so... So,
Really, when it started being called metal was when the Big Four was started.
Right, which we will get to the Big Four...
Which consists of Megadeth, Metallica, Anthrax, and Slayer. Those are the Big Four. Which, by the way, minus Anthrax, because I haven't heard any of songs, are my favorite freaking bands.
Nice, yeah. So, we have... And then heavy metal bands developed the thick, massive sound, characterized by distortion, extended guitar solos... gar solos... emphatic beats and loudness. The lyrics were performed with sometimes associated with aggression and machismo. So... distortion and extended guitar solos. I think the distortion is what most extortion guitar solos, which most people thought it was because of rock, as a subgenre of rock, is because rock had a lot of those too, but it wasn't as
loud and hard.
Yeah, right.
Because like you see the drummers, they're just constantly bouncing around. Their arms are flailing everywhere. They're going really fast, really hard.
And there's so many subgenres of metal. You had, I'm gonna list them off. So we'll list off some of them. Avant-garde metal, Christian metal, which makes no sense.
How is there Christian metal? Yeah, Christians ruin everything.
I think you just extreme metal. Black metal, which extreme metal has its own subgenres, which I didn't think subgenres could have subgenres.
We all know what the Christians did to rap when they did that Jesus Christ is my
Hey,
I'm not saying it, Jesus Christ is my N-word. It was a catchy song and a lot of black people.
I've never heard pirate metal.
Oh my god, pirate metal is awesome.
Well, I guess the...
Take Pirates of the Caribbean, change it to guitar and drums, you get pirate metal.
Dang.
It is... insane.
So you have alternate metal, funk metal, and rap metal is what that's the subgenre of. Crust punk.
They're just throwing bread everywhere.
Bro, but grindcore. Grindcore is, I think, one of the most intense. It's one of the most.
Thrash. thrash metal is the most intense. Which you listen to, you just listen to one, Slayer's Skeleton of Society. Holy shit, you're just bombarded with a main riff and...
In 1968...
Epic drums.
Yeah, but in 1968, three of the genre's most founded pioneers, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, and Deep Purple, were founded. I think... And so, though they became to attract wide audiences, they were often derided by critics. Following the blueprint laid down by Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath, several American bands modified heavy metal into more accessible forms during the 1970s. The raw, sleazy sound and shock rock of Alice Cooper and Kiss. Oh, Kiss is such a great band. The blues-rooted of rock of Aerosmith and the flashy guitar leads and wild party rock of Van Halen. 19. During the mid-1970s, Judas Priest helped spur the genre's evolution by discarding much of its blues influence. See, that's it. See, yeah, that's why nowadays no one knows, like, hey, how is this related to the blues? Probably because... as I said, Judas Priest just says, you know what, nah, it's not. It's...
Fuck you, blues, you're getting the fuck out of here, nobody wants you.
Alright, yeah. Motorhead...
old boomers.
Motorhead introduced a punk rock, oh, Motorhead, sensibility and an increasing emphasis on speed. Beginning in the late 1970s, bands a new wave of British heavy metal. Man, I wonder what that sounds like. Oh, I might...
Oh, mate, you want some tea and crumpets?
Such as Iron Maiden and... Wait, Iron Maiden's British?
Yeah, so it's Black Sabbath. Led
Saxon Blade. Followed a similar vein. By the end of the decade, metal heavy fans.
Metal.
Heavy metal fans became known as metalheads or headbangers. So, yeah. Let's see. So, what we're gonna do now is we're gonna play a song by that's thrash metal, from Rob Zombie. It's pretty popular. It's thrash metal.
Yeah.
What song do you think we should play?
Skeletons of Society by Slayer.
Slayer. It's thrash metal.
One of the big Slayer is it. All Slayer is thrash metal.
And then after that, we'll have another break after, so when we're done with that, we're gonna read off some more history of, heavy metal, and then,
Alright!
After that, we'll work on thrash metal, and so, what we do, real quick, before we go to the break and play the song, Trip, is that we play a song, and then we do a deep analysis of the lyrics, and what everything means, but I don't think heavy metal has really any...
Some of the songs have meaning, like Metallica's one, they made that song because of, what's his name? Cliff Burton's death. They made Injustice for All for Cliff Burton. Because he wanted to be a part of that and then passed, sadly.
Yeah. So and then after we're done reading off the some of the history and heavy metal, we'll move on to thrash metal, and then after that we're gonna play something else. So here's the song, and enjoy.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back, and that was Skeletons of Society by Slayer. And
one of my personal favorites.
It's a good song, too. So, what does it all mean? Well, I'm going to state what the actual meaning of the entire song is, then me and Tripp are going to go over our personal opinions of the song. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Well, the actual song is about the evils in society, the decline of civilization, and the eventful Armageddon we are headed for. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean...
Nothing here remains. Days, futures past.
Right, and no one could foresee that the end came so fast. Makes sense. And here the prophet make his guess that paradise lies to the west, so join his quest for the sun. Yeah, so now what we're going to do is... That was all the second verse, what we just said, so we're going to skip over that because we just said it. And we're going to go... We're going to take turns with the different verses. So I'll go with the first verse, and you go with the third verse. How's that? So you got, minutes seem like days, since fire ruled the sky. The rich became the beggars, and the fools became the wise. Memories linger in my brain, a burning from the acid rain, a pain I never have won. So the minutes seem like days is probably, since fire ruled the sky, probably mean this is an apocalypse, this is after the end, you know, or this is during the end. It's like they're all trying to survive.
Yeah.
And the rich became the beggars, meaning that, you know, those who had a lot of money used to have everything are begging for help now, you know.
Makes sense.
And then, yeah, the fools become the wise, people that were poor, and people who, you know, the ones who said the end was coming are now all prepared to survive against this. And the memories linger in my brain, a burning from the acid rain. Probably means that acid rain is falling, you know, and he has memories of dying in the apocalypse. And a payout he has never won, meaning that he's never had his pay before and he doesn't want to. Here's the third verse, including the chorus. Yeah, so the third verse is...
The world slowly decays, destruction fills my eyes. Like, buildings are still falling after what had happened, and the world is slowly dying out, and...
Yeah.
He's witnessing it all and harboring the image of a spiraling demise. He's taking in the image of humanity's end and everything. Burning winds release their fury, stimulating judge and jury. The winds blowing all the fire everywhere controls what happens.
Right.
And drifting flurries of pain, getting hit by embers.
Right, you know. And so, the fourth verse, deafening silence reigns as twilight fills the sky, meaning that, you know, there's you know, screams, and then it just goes silent. Everyone's screaming and dying, and he's saying this as twilight fills the sky, meaning that it's now nighttime, and it's all happening, you know, at night. And then you have eventful supremacy, daylight waits to die, meaning that, you know, this is probably... It's eventful, meaning that this was all going to happen sooner or later. And then, darkness always calls my name, a pawn in this recurring game. Humanity is going insane. Meaning that he, as himself, like humanity, he as himself is going insane to try to survive, try to comprehend what happened, why is this happening, why is the end here and now. So, now it's your turn to read the fifth verse.
Shades of death are all I see, skeletons of society. Different people, different ways of how people are dying, and they're still reminded by the skeletons of the governments that once were.
Right.
Fragments of what used to be. They're getting little snippets of memories of what happened before the event of their eternal doom.
Oh, eternal demise, yeah. So yeah, that's our personal opinion of it. So now we're gonna go back to the history of you know, heavy metal and stuff like that. So let's start like that. All right. So we're gonna talk about the instruments, the basic of how it, you know, all came to be. Sure. All
right.
So like heavy metal's quintessential guitar style, built around distortion, heavy riffs, and power chords, traces to its roots in early 1950s Memphis blues guitarists, which again, I'm still having trouble figuring out how heavy metal relates to blues.
because at first it was kind of soft-ish, and then they took the chords that blues players mainly play and put them in songs. Like in Symphony of Destruction, that main riff dun is the same. It's not a power chord, but they're the same notes that are played in most blues songs.
And some of the Memphis Blues guitarists that they were based off was Joe Hill Lewis, Willie Johnson, and Pat Hare, who captured a grittier, nastier, more ferocious electric guitar sound on records such as James Cotton's Cotton Crop Blue, 1954. And in the late 1950s, instruments of Link Wray, particularly Rumble in 1958, the early 1960s surf rock of Dick Dale. Speaking of which, Dick Dale is considered the father of rock. Reason why? Because his friend, him and a friend, developed the 100 watt amp, attached electric guitar to it, and essentially created heavy metal, or created metal using all the distortion and power.
No, he created rock, not metal. That's how he got the name of Father of Rock.
Father of Metal.
That's still, for a different episode.
Yeah. Well, actually, I didn't really state that in the last episode was rocking at subgenres.
Well, you know what? We can do interviews of different people.
Fine.
Even if they're dead, we still have to do
the graves. Yeah. So, including Let's Go Trippin' and Mr. Lou. And the Kingsmen version of Louie Louie, which made a garage rock standard. Garage rock is basically, it's basically like a garage band, but it's rock. I guess so.
Like you take your original amp that you have, it's a piece of shit. Barely even works, and it's literally holding on by zip ties and beer bottles.
Yep. So, however, the genre's direct lineage begins in the mid-1960s. From American blues music was a major influence on the early British rockers of the era. Bands like the Rolling Stones. Oh, that's a good band.
Sounds more like rock than heavy metal, because the Rolling Stones is not heavy metal.
Right.
The Rolling Stones is rock. This is a heavy metal episode.
Right. So I guess I'll just go over. Well, no, this is all about like how heavy metal came to be.
I'm a retard.
Yeah, you really are. Sometimes.
Not as retarded as you.
But yeah, you know.
You really got me.
Yeah. So yeah, well, I guess most of these I'll probably do in a different episode where I go more into a deeper history of just rock, not just the subgenres of rock entirely. So, but for now, we're gonna play another song. Which now that is my turn, I think we'll go with. Enter Sandman by Metallica. So same thing with Skeletons of Society. We'll do that. So anyways, we'll see you after the break. Well, that was Into the Sandman, my Metallica.
Not Enter the Sandman.
Enter Sandman. Sandman.
You retarded biscuit.
You hush. Anyways, but it is a really good song. So like we did with Skeletons of Society, we're going to state the true meaning of the song, and then we're going to state our own personal opinion. So, Enter Sandman is obviously a heavy metal song. Yeah, obviously, because that's what it's on this. It's actually supposed to deal with the concept of a child's nightmare. Because Enter Sandman, because Sandman is the person who gives you the dreams, you know what I'm saying? According to the song, Mr. Sandman.
Bring me a dream, bum 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 bum, give me the greatest that I've ever seen.
But the thing, what I really think is really cool, is that the single achieved platinum certification for more than a million copies shipped.
Yeah.
Oh, in the just in the United States alone.
Yeah, they got like a lot of copies. I have
30 million copies.
I have one copy of that fucking of the CD.
Nice.
The Metallica Black album.
Dang. So now we're gonna go over to the lyrics, and then we're gonna.
I don't really have any personal opinions about it.
You really don't?
No, I agree with them.
It's
just a song about a children's nightmare.
Right. I mean, see, the obvious one, so the line in the chorus, obviously, you know, take my hand, we're off to Never Neverland, is a reference to the children's story, Peter Pan, off to Neverland, you know, where children never grow old.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he lives in the magical world, Neverland, and the song Sandman lives in Never Neverland, and is a much less pleasant place. So, yeah. Well, yeah, so I guess we don't really have our own personal opinion about it, other than, you know, it being a really good song, really good American heavy metal song.
Shit.
Well, since we have at least a couple minutes to spare, what do you at least, you know, think of the song? When you first hear it, what's your main...
When I first heard it, I was like, holy shit, this is some... premium shit, my G.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was 6, maybe 7 at the time.
My dad would always make me listen to rock and heavy metal.
I was introduced to country first.
I was straight up. When I was like 2 or 3, I was able to talk and walk. My dad was straight up rock music.
Yeah.
I got
the
introduced.
The earliest memory I can remember being introduced to music was country.
I think I got introduced to country when I was about 3 or 4. After that, it was just mostly rock and metal. So I guess this segment right here would mostly just be about our childhood experiences with rock and metal. I mean, obviously, the first rock band I heard was either Guns N' Roses, AC/DC, or Led Zeppelin. That's what my dad always got me into.
I'm gonna talk mainly about heavy metal because that's what this episode's about.
Right, I'm just saying that's what the first kind of.
When I was introduced to Metallica, I was like, holy shit, I want to be like them. And that's why I learned guitar, but I can't play while singing, so I'll have to be lead. Unlike James Hetfield, who's rhythm and lead singer.
Dang.
Sucks, but that's...
My very first heavy metal has to be, you know, Led Zeppelin or Rob Zombie.
I don't think Led Zeppelin is heavy.
Not Led Zeppelin, sorry, Metallica. I was thinking of rock for a second. Metallica or Rob Zombie.
My top three is Metallica, Megadeth, and Avenged Sevenfold.
Avenged Sevenfold. Oh, yeah, Avenged Sevenfold. They're more of hard rock, more than metal. They have some metal.
No, a majority of their albums are all heavy metal.
They have some hard rock in there.
Some of them are hard rock and some of them are soft rock, like a Buried Alive.
Then you have...
That's more of a soft rock song.
Killswitch Engage is a hard rock to heavy metal. It makes some really good music.
Well, I've heard of them, I just never heard their stuff.
There's something we'll have to do.
A lot of bashing from Tom.
Do. But I guess that's it for this episode of...
He's never heard Killswitch Engage. He's such an uncultured swine.
Yeah, I know.
I bet half of the people that listen to that don't even know what Killswitch Engage is. So, but yeah, that's it for this episode of History of Music or Tales of Music. So join us next time where we're going to be talking about blues. We'll do blues rock or just blues entirely. So I'm excited for that. And this is it for today's bonus episode. And this is Sledge Gates and...
Trip Bagley.
Signing off. Bye.